Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord has been in the place today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When Pastor was talking about the shell broken around people, I began to think of Humpty Dumpty. And I began to think about Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, you know, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. And then I thought there's some people that trust in horses and some people trust in chariots, but some people trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen.
And suddenly Jesus appeared on the scene. And with tender love and care and compassion, he began to put Humpty back together again. So now Humpty's back on the wall and he is singing a brand new song. If God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. I was set free the day that I began to understand and been given a revelation of the grace of God. That I didn't have to do anything to earn God's love for me. That I didn't deserve God's love because he first loved me. Amen. That he brought me into his kingdom, into his presence. That I could have life and have it more abundantly. We were somewhere at a family's house, Kenny's family's house last Sunday, I think it was, and someone made the comment, and I don't even know what we're talking about, but he said, you know, this grace message, and it was a very young man that said this, and said, you know, the grace message is nothing but hogwash. And I thought, if it's nothing but hogwash, it's the best hogwashing I've ever had. Amen. I'll accept it. You can call whatever you want to, but once you begin to get a revelation and about the grace of God, the struggle is over, church.
Yes.
And the stupid mistakes that we make in this life now is not going to keep you out of heaven.
No.
You are a child of God. You are sealed in the promises of God. And the choices that we make in this earth right now, all those stupid choices that we get the consequences of sometimes because we sow what we reap, it's not going to keep you out of heaven. But it's going to keep you out of the blessings of God in this earth right now. It's going to keep you from fulfilling your purpose and destiny in God. God is not out. God is not mad at you. God is not mad at you this morning. He is sometimes sad because of the choices we make, because he knows the consequences of the choices that we make. But in him, he wants us to have life and to have life more abundantly. So aren't you glad that you may have been that Humpty Dumpty at one time? And you may have fell off the wall, but then, amen, but God, but God put you back together again. Why? Because you didn't trust in the arms of flesh. You began to trust in God and his grace and his goodness toward you. Amen. And so he put you back together again. And we are all a work in progress. That's why we judge no one at where they are with God. And you know, all God wants is a relationship with you. And one thing I found out, if I can get my relationship right with God this way, then all my other relationships is going to come into focus. And I'm so glad for that this morning because, you know, over my life, I've seen God's hand move. I can be disgruntled with people over the years, but I have witnessed God bring situations and relationships to cross your paths again. And I believe there's times in our lives that God sets everything right. Don't pass up those opportunities when God sets everything right. Whether it's for a relationship with people that have gone away or something, God has a way of bringing things across our path to make things right again. Amen. So we have to learn and trust him and not try to work things out our own sometimes. Because as people, we want things to happen, especially, I guess, women, because we're more emotional sometimes than men. We want it to happen yesterday. When God says it should happen today, well, why couldn't it happen yesterday? But God's not finished yet. And the greatest revelation that I got of that one time was I was in prayer. And what I seen in a vision, and I pray that this helps you this morning, is that I seen what I seen was a figure of Jesus. And he was painting on a canvas. And some of you have heard me share this before. And he was painting on a canvas. And as I walked up behind him, I seen him taking strokes, and the picture wasn't finished yet, and he didn't let me get to see all the pictures. But what I come to understand was that was the painting of the canvas of my life. And he's the same thing with you. He's sitting there, and stroke by stroke, he's painting on the canvas of your life to bring it all together again. And so you just accept his plan and his purpose for you and begin to walk on that. And with every stroke, every step, every stroke, every step, he's bringing it to completion. And someday, he's just going to say, come on home. Hallelujah, come on home. And then all things will be awesome. Amen. God wants to have a life and have it more abundantly now. That's not the message today, but I just wanted to share that with you this morning, that he's still painting on the canvas of your life. Don't give up, don't quit, and don't give in, because it's not over. It is not over. There are some who have given up way too soon. I have given you this sermon to let some things go, but there are some things that you have should have never quit believing me for. For in the midst of waiting, you grew tired and began to speak death to that which I wanted to give life to. I'm asking of you today to allow my word that has been ministered to give life back to you, to believe again, to declare again, to bring hope back. I want to establish my kingdom in you and in this earth and even in this place, so my glory may be seen, so all may see and believe. God wants to bring the glory of his kingdom to this earth in this, so for such a time as this. He's going to do it through you and me. And you have not messed up so bad that his glory cannot shine through you.
Amen.
Amen. Because you've got a testimony. You have got a testimony. John 6:63 tells us that it is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So whatever you have been given up on, that you got tired in the process of it, God says, I want to bring that back to your remembrance for you to begin to speak life to it. Because there is, like I said, there is a particular time that God makes all things right. And even with the word that he's given us, whether it's this word here, whether it's a personal prophetic word, there is a time for it to be brought to fruition. But so many times we want it to happen yesterday. And one thing I've learned, it's not all about me. That we've got brothers and sisters that we're in fellowship, that God wants to come alongside us, and we need to come alongside of them to bring a greater fulfillment of that word. Because he wants his glory to be in the earth now. Amen. So the Message Bible says the Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen, because it cannot be done in your strength. All the king's horses and all the king's men could put Humpty back together again, but when God appeared on the scene. Amen. So every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word. And so it is life making. He's telling us today, I've spoken life, and I'm asking you to do the same. He said, I have given, you know, sometimes we wait on God and we're saying, God, why aren't you doing something? Why has not this happened yet? Why is this happening? And he's saying, I've done all I'm going to do. I have given you the authority. I have given you the power. I have given you the strength. Now you speak what I have already spoken to you. The Bible says that his word is already settled in heaven. And when he said it is finished on the cross, that's exactly what he meant. He's made us ambassadors in the earth today to reconcile all men unto himself. So I've spoken life, and I ask you to do the same. To see my kingdom in the earth, you must speak life. The blessings that God has for us, church, is not when we get to heaven. It's for right now.
Amen.
It's for right now. Because if you're saved and you're born again, all your sins are in the blood, under the blood.
Yes.
Yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. But the stupid choices, as I said before, keeps us from the blessings of God while we're here on this earth. You can go to heaven miserable and messed up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But you're not going to live a fulfilled life on this earth now. And that's what it's all about, to show the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needs a Savior, mm-hmm. to a world that needs hope, to a world that needs to hear about the grace of God. Quit working for what you've already been given through Jesus Christ. Proverbs says that a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life, as we have heard, are in the power of the tongue. How many times have we heard that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. To speak life, God-filled words, Spirit-filled words, to speak life brings things to manifestation in our life. It gives power to it. That the Word of God is a seed. Amen. So to speak death is to cause the word to never bring fruit, to never come to manifestation in our lives. So you speak life to that word. You speak life to that word. You don't speak death to it by saying, I don't know if it can ever happen, why it should happen to me, I don't deserve it. All of those are death-spoken words to a dream or vision that God has given you. But he's calling you to speak life to it. If God said it, I know it's going to happen. So therefore, I put myself in alignment with what I know God has said. So our atmosphere around us is created by the words we speak. Have you ever gone to work or into a room and it doesn't take but one person to cause that whole atmosphere to change? But I have decided that I create my atmosphere around me, and it doesn't matter what anybody else may say or may do, I refuse to allow them into my circle. Because I know in whom I believe, and I am fully persuaded that he is. So if you're talking negative, you can't come into my circle. Light always outshines darkness. So we have the choice to create the atmosphere around us by either speaking life, which is what the Word of God has to say, or speak death to that. So God has already sent his Word. How many comes into agreement with that? We know that God has already sent his word. He's just looking for somebody that's willing to grab a hold of that word and begin to speak it into the atmosphere so that it can happen. So that it can become, so it can begin to bear fruit. So it can begin to manifest. So he's looking for somebody, in other words, to give an assignment to that word. He's looking for somebody to give assignment to that word. And when you do that, it will prosper in which you assign it to do. It's, we speak the word. If we speak life, which is what the word has decreed, our atmosphere around us will be charged with the life of the kingdom of God. And we'll begin to see some things happen. It doesn't have no choice. Because we know the kingdom of God is light, and in him is no darkness. So therefore, when we begin to speak life-changing words, darkness has to vanish. It has no choice. We may not see it happen all at once, but little by little, it has to move back. Amen. Little by little, it has to move back because light will always outshine the darkness. So when we're speaking death, words that are not life, we're creating an atmosphere of doubt. We're creating an atmosphere of confusion. And then we begin to give up. Because as a person thinks, so is he. So when you begin to speak doubt, you bring confusion. You begin to speak out of your head and not your spirit. So you begin to bring doubt and confusion into your circle. Into your circle. Isaiah says in 55, another familiar passage of scripture says, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. There is an irresistible supernatural. So we don't talk about the supernatural much anymore. But there is an irresistible supernatural power in God's word that he has promised us that will not return to him void. We have that promise, church. It cannot return to him void. When we begin to decree and declare this settled word, this covenant that's been given to us, when we begin to speak it and declare it, we have the promise that it's going to do what he said it would do. It's going to accomplish what he said it would accomplish. Amen. That's the promise to us. God's will, word will accomplish. The King James Version says that the word of God will not return to him void. In other words, when you assign that word to something, to whatever circumstance it is, then it's not going to return to him void. It will get the job done. Little by little, it will get the job done. The word of God is powerful because it is guaranteed by God to be effective. God guarantees his word. In other words, God will back you up. When you step out on faith and begin to decree and declare, I believe God's saying, you go, girl, you go, man. You go. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick. Amen. Open the eyes that are blind. He's called us as a church. He's commissioned us to do that. And he says, when you do that with faith, I'll back you up. Because my word is guaranteed. My word is guaranteed not to go out void. So we've limited it, God, to this way of doing, this way of thinking, because of our own waiting for God to do something. And he said, I'm waiting for the church to do something. I'm waiting for the church to rise up with what I have given them to accomplish my will and my kingdom in the earth now. Because we'll have it all when we get to heaven. We'll have it all when we get to heaven. John says, and 4:11 says, when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out, and the dead men come out. So when we speak out God's word, whatever your Lazarus in your life is that you've allowed to die or that is dead, it could be anything. Any of us has Lazarus in our lives, amen, dreams and things that have died. And it doesn't matter how long it has been dead. God has said, I want to revive that within you today, and put that spark in you today to begin to speak again. And when the word is spoken to death, it has to live. Whatever it is, it has to live. So speak out God's word to your Lazarus this morning. Cancer, you have to leave this body because by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. So you are given an assignment to that spoken word. Be healed in the name of Jesus. If it's your finances, amen. You give assignment to that word to go and do what God has said it would do. Give assignment to that word today. Come in line, finances. God's word says he shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So when you begin to speak the word of God, give assignment to what you want that word to do for you. And God then will begin to bring it all together for you in due time. In due time, due season, he will bring it all together and cause you to see that he is for you and not against you, that his word is powerful. Keep his word and you'll never see death in the situations of your life. Begin to speak life. Begin to speak life. Power, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So it's not just knowing the word, but it's being able to keep that word, that which you have heard. You keep that word which you have heard by speaking it, by opening your mouth and speaking it. The devil either wants you to stay silent, to keep your mouth shut, and or to begin to speak things that are contrary to the word of God. Because it's a sermon I preached before, the devil doesn't like balance. Because there is power in balance. So he wants to get you way over here where you are tight-lipped and you're afraid to say anything because of persecution, what other people may think of you, that you're crazy. Or you go way over here and just go completely crazy with the word. And that's when it gets into religion and bondage and trying to get people into doing things and in order for God to love them and all these things. But there is power in balance, church. So I believe that we've entered to a new season where God is saying, I challenge you to be recharged again, to revisit some things that God has spoken to you and you've not seen it come to pass because it's took too long. Amen. There are some things that God has said, listen, I want to recharge you today with my word, that you begin to speak again, that you begin to believe again. If I said it 20 years ago, it's still the same today. Amen. If I said it midnight last night, it's still the same today. If it don't happen today, it could happen tomorrow. So whatever that is, you write it down, you put it on the bathroom mirror, the refrigerator, or wherever, and you begin to say, today could be the day. Today could be the day that it happens. Just think, today, before I get home from work this afternoon or tonight, it could happen. You could get that one phone call that could change the course of your life. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? So isn't it more exciting and more up inside of you to begin to speak that and to begin to think that way than to get up grumpy in the morning and say, oh, another day. But get up in the morning and say, today is the day the Lord has made. I know who I am. I can speak. I can tie my shoes. I know where I'm going. I can fix my own coffee. Hallelujah. Today could be the day that the promise of God comes to fulfillment in my life. It could be the right person that comes along. It could be that phone call. It could be that letter in the mail. So let your mind revisit that place today where God has spoken that one word to you. And you've grown discouraged because it's not happened. Today could be the day, church. Tomorrow could be the day. Don't quit and don't you give up. Amen. God's got you covered. And there's nothing that's gone past him unnoticed. Nothing that's gone past him the unnoticed. But there are some things that the Spirit of God has said to let go. So we have to have discernment of what God says, let it go, or what God says to hold on to. And you'll know the difference. There's a voice that's inside of you sometimes that we ignore, that it's the Spirit of God saying, you know, you need to let that go. Then there's some things that God's saying, that's your pea patch. You stand there and you take control of that pea patch by my Spirit. Amen. Some of you have been standing in your pea patch and all you've done is let weeds grow up around it. And it's not producing anything. He says, take control of your pea patch again today. Amen. And you stand there and say, that's my pea patch. God gave it to me, and ain't nobody taking it away from me. Glory to God. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to hold on to it. And by the grace of God, the weeds are going to be out, and I'm going to see a harvest.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to see a harvest. So do not be caught in the living of yesterday, in the time of someday. You know, we've got folks that want like it was then. We've got folks waiting for it like to be in the future. But you know, your best opportunity is right now.
Amen.
Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is, you know. So as long as we're living in the past or we're living in the future, that suddenly passes us by and we don't know it's happened until we like, uh-oh. You know, it's like the person drowning and God sent him this and that and the other. He drowned and went to heaven and God said, well, I sent you two or three things by and you passed it all up. Amen. So we quit boxing God in and saying this is the way it should happen because that's the way it happened yesterday. But God's wanting to do a new thing. We live in a new generation and a new time. Yesterday's manna is not going to work. The Word of God is still the same. God does not change. But the message of salvation to reach this world today, the form of it has to change to reach the people now, especially the younger generation. The Word of God is the same and God does not change, but the way we minister has to change sometimes. So don't be caught in the living in the yesterday and the time of someday because the now will never happen. The now will never happen. If, you know, we may say, if only it could be like yesterday. I don't want it to be like yesterday because I've been through some stuff. Amen. You know, glory to God. I'm looking for the new. And I'm looking for it to happen before dark today.
Amen.
Anybody with me?
Yeah.
May happen before we leave church. I don't know. But it's a new day. If I had to do it over again, but you don't. That's another thing people say. If I had it to do over again, that's living in the past. We'd all do something different if we had it to do over again. Amen? But you don't. If this had not happened, but it did. So now what are you going to do with it? It did happen. So now what are you going to do with it? You take it for what it is and then let God begin to sift it out. Let God begin to change it and you begin to speak life to it, hope back to it again, and then watch it all come together. So what are you going to do with all these things that you're going to put into its proper place by letting it go and step into the new? Quit thinking about yesterday. Yes, hope for the future, believe for the future, but you have no better time than now. No better opportunity than now. The now is the best time, and God wants you to seize that opportunity. Philippians 3 tells us, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what is behind and strain forward to what is ahead. When we look into the Word of God, when God was about to do something in the earth, when you go through the scriptures, you know, when he had a desire to do something, he always looked around for somebody to take on that assignment and then began to speak that out so that will could be accomplished in the earth. And it's the same thing today. There's so much that God wants to do and we're waiting on him. And he says, I'm waiting on you to get up. To get up. So when he began to want to do something to the earth, he began to look for somebody to begin to speak into the earth so they would begin to speak out the things that he was wanting to do. This is what causes the hand of God to begin to move. Because we are God's hands, we are God's feet, we are God's eyes, we are God's ears in this earth. In this earth right now, we are those things. In Numbers 13, God had given the land of Canaan, had given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. Moses, we know the story, Moses sent out the men to check out the land and bring back the report of what they had seen. Isn't it amazing you take 3 or 4 people to go look at something, everybody will come back with a different story. Everybody will come back with something different with what they've seen, whatever it may be. So Moses sent the men out to check out, and they were to report back to him what they had seen. And they came back, they said, yeah, the milk does flow with milk and honey, and there's much land for us. So they all came back with, yes, the land flows with milk and honey, but they began to see else what the people, they said, the people there are strong, the cities are fortified, they're very large. So what happened? They began to concentrate on the negative of what they could not do instead of what they could do. And so many times that's like we are as humans. We concentrate on what cannot be done instead of what can be done. Because if the anointing is on something, it can be done in spite of what people say that cannot be done. Right. Amen? So, yes, all this is there. So they began to speak death to that possession that God had already given them. He said, I've given you the land of Canaan. When they came back to report, they began to speak death to it. Yeah, God may have given it to us, but there ain't no way we can conquer it. Yeah, there's a blessing there. The land is flowing with milk and honey, but we can't do nothing about it. Yeah, God's given it to us, though. How many times are we like that, church? When God's given us a word, we'll say, well, that ain't never going to happen. So we begin to speak death to it instead of life. Said, yeah, this may be messed up right now, and this one may be acting this way right now, but God. Amen. But God. When the anointing comes on that thing, it'll happen. It has no choice but to happen. The light of that word that I was talking about a while ago. So we need to have a Caleb spirit.
Yes, amen.
We need to be baptized in a Caleb spirit again. A Caleb spirit. Caleb spirit is one that looks beyond the opposition. It's a voice that will begin to declare life. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Yes. Caleb saw the same thing as the others did. Caleb did not deny the existence, the opposition, but he knew that God was bigger because God had said that land was theirs. Abel means to have the power or have the capacity to prevail or succeed. We are well able to prevail. We are well able to succeed because God has already said it's ours. God has already said it's ours. So what about Ezekiel in the Bible? Remember the message that you've heard over and over about the dry bones? Ezekiel finds himself in the position where the nation of Israel is dead. But God was not finished with them yet. God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with that dream, that hope, that vision, that prophetic word he's given you. He's not finished with it yet. He's not finished with it yet. So Ezekiel was brought up to the valley of dry bones. There was bones scattered everywhere. Now, you can't get much more dead than that. When there's bones and they're everywhere and you don't know which bone goes to which bone, that's dead, right? So Ezekiel, this is the nation of Israel. They were in a very hopeless situation. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that hopeless situation before? You know, at times you just say, well, you know, God, you got it. Go to bed and cover your head up and take you a good long sleep, and it'll look better in the morning. Things always look better in the morning. Amen. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. For Ezekiel, this is the nation of Israel, and they were in a hopeless situation. Then God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? God knew they could live. He had no problem in believing they could live. But he wanted Ezekiel to begin to see that they could live. It's like God asking you where you are. He knows where you are. But in order for you to know where you are, you have got to admit where you are. And that is the first step into conquering something. I may be here and I know God wants me there. Now what do I need to go from here to there? And he will give you a plan to follow that through with. Thank God for instant stuff. But sometimes it's a walking out. Because we didn't get in a mess overnight. And sometimes we can't get out of the mess overnight. But we want to, because we wanted what happened yesterday to happen, you know. What we want to happen today, it should have happened yesterday. You know, why didn't it happen yesterday? So Ezekiel's response, I don't see how, if they do, it will be up to you, Lord. He says, right now, I don't see nothing happen. All I see is dry bones. All I see is death and destruction. And if they live, it'll be up to you. And that is true. It is up to God. But he's already said it's done. So therefore, he's given you the authority. He's given you the able. I can do all things. He's put that inside of you to begin to speak and declare. So Ezekiel's telling God that you're in charge, you're in control. God, you can do whatever you want to do. With God, we know there's nothing impossible. If God wants these dead, dry bones to live, they'll live. But that is not what God wanted to hear. God wanted Ezekiel, as I said before, to see them living and begin to speak to them so they could live. That's why God was questioning Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what are you seeing? And that is the first step to your miracle. It's to see yourself. And it began to say, boy, I need some things. I need some things in my life to work on. Because the day that I found out that I was my worst enemy, things began to change. And sometimes we are our worst enemy. So sometimes you need to look in the mirror and you say, it's not his fault, it's not her fault, it's not their fault, it's not the church's fault, it's not pastor's fault. Sometimes it's the two eyes that are looking back at us. And that's hard to do sometimes. But the day you realize that you are your worst enemy, that's the first step to your deliverance. So God wanted to hear Ezekiel begin to see some things and speak some things. So he says to Ezekiel, you prophesy to these bones and say to them, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. You know, when we have things happening in our bodies and we have the pain and stuff, we need to say, pain, wherever you are coming from, you need to hear the word of the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Finances, you need to hear the word of the Lord. I am prosperous because the word says that I am prosperous. Amen. So he said, I want you to prophesy to these bones and tell them to hear the word of the Lord. In other words, he said, Ezekiel, you give assignment to those bones and you tell them bones to live. You speak, you give that word an assignment. And the assignment is bones, you live. Bones, you live. So Ezekiel was to give the bones an assignment, the word that he was speaking, an assignment. And he said, this is what I want you to say to them. This, the word here, when you don't know how to speak something, find it in here. Begin to prophesy and give an assignment to it according to the word of God. And he said, prophesy to these bones, and this is what I want you to say to them. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And guess what happened? The bones began to live again. Isn't that something? Amen. The bones. So Ezekiel began to prophesy, and the spirit, which is life, came back into them bones. Hallelujah. And that's the same thing that will happen to you when you begin to prophesy to your situation, your circumstances. You are the prophet of your own life, as someone once I heard say once. You are the prophet of your own life. You begin to prophesy to yourself, which you know to be of truth. And it will come into alignment with the will of God for your life. You know, sometimes in our life, it seems like that we are in a valley of dry bones in our own life. It seems like everything is scattered to the four winds. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where you felt like everything was scattered to the four winds and you think, how on earth is this all going to come back together again? Well, I've got good news for you today. It will. Amen. It will live again, and it will come back together again. See it for what it is. Don't deny it. See it for what it is. And begin to prophesy to it according to the word of God. Because the anointing is upon you and in you to do that. God has commanded you to give life to some things. So So it doesn't matter what has been in your life that is scattered everywhere, whether it's your kids, they have to come back. They have to come back. Glory to God. Whether it's your finances, you've been hit hard with something, and it seems like it's been scattered, I've got good news for you today. It's come, oh my goodness, it's coming back into order, church. Hallelujah. I prophesy you grab a hold of that right now. Whatever in your life, whether it's finances, whether it's your kids, whether it's your health, whether it's your job, it seems like it's been scattered. God says it's coming back into alignment again. You begin to give an assignment to that word, to go to that situation. Hallelujah. And it's coming back together again, church. Hallelujah. Raise your hand right now and say, it's coming back. I have the favor of God. And it's coming back together. Hallelujah. It's coming back together. Glory God. Mm-mm-mm. It will live again. That which the enemy has meant for destruction, God is even now turning it around. What I have seen is you begin to come into agreement with God and His Word. He comes into agreement with you. When you come into agreement with God, God says, all right now. I hear Him speaking my Word. I hear Him speaking truth. They're in faith. Hallelujah. So I'm going to come into agreement with that which they are speaking. So He begins to come into agreement with you, and that I want you to prophesy will bring life back to it again. God told Joshua to meditate on, to reflect, to mutter, to ponder, to contemplate as one who repeats words. So as you begin to prophesy, begin to speak the word, whatever it is, out of order will come into order. And He said, Joshua, I'm putting you in a position here to start speaking. Now listen to this, church. He says, Joshua, I'm putting you in position here, so start speaking the right thing now, even though you don't see nothing happening and everything is scattered, whatever it may be. He said, Joshua, I'm putting you in position now to start speaking the right thing now. And when you come to a crossroads, you will speak the right thing then. Did you get that? Hallelujah. That when you come to that place, you've been pondering on the word. You've been muttering the word to yourself. You've been meditating it on in your mind and letting it go, letting your spirit overflow with it. And then when you come to that pivotal point in your life, that God says, okay, it's time to speak. It's time to speak. It's time for the dry bones to come together again. When you come to that pivotal point, you've already laid the foundation for it by pondering, by meditating on that word. Mm-mm-mm. That's powerful, church. The Spirit of the Lord has said He has given you discernment as what to speak life to, as I said before, and what to let go. You may have to speak to some things that others don't understand. When you go around muttering the word, when you go around pondering the word, some folks don't understand that. But you're setting yourself up, you're positioning yourself for a miracle and for a breakthrough. Moses saw something in Numbers 6:20, verse 8. The people saw a rock. All the people saw was a rock. But Moses saw something else, and people thought he was crazy. But Moses saw something in that rock. There was water in that rock. So there are some things you're going to have to prophesy. The people's going to say, you just need to leave it alone, quit. But like I say, it's your pea patch, and don't let go. All people see is a pea patch with weeds in it. But you see food. You see something bigger than just a pea patch with a weed in it, with weeds in it and everything. So Moses saw a rock. The people saw a rock. Moses saw beyond that. He had discernment to see something else in that rock, and he saw water. So when other people say, come to you and say, listen, there's nothing there, sometimes you just keep your mouth shut, and you just keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Sometimes you always don't have to say anything. How many knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just keep your mouth shut. You just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. And they will see. They will see. There was water in the rock at the right time. Right time. Moses spoke. He prophesied to the rock and water came forth. My goodness. At the right time. Everybody saw a rock. Moses saw beyond. He saw what was in the rock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, sometimes things come into our life where we seem dropped. You ever got that phone call that, and it always happens at midnight. How many knows when your kids were little, they always got sicker at night? You always get that phone call at night. The cops show up at your door at night. But the Bible says Paul and Silas sing praises at midnight. The others weren't because they were listening to them. But Paul and Silas sung praises at midnight in spite of their circumstances. And sometimes things come into our life where we are dropped unexpectedly. And it feels that way sometimes. And it's not turned out the way you hoped for. It's not turned out the way you believed for. And sometimes we want to blame ourselves for it. And so sometimes life is full of difficult situations that are beyond our control. Because living life is not just all about us, people. Amen. Living life is not just all about us. Our actions, our decisions, is not just back sometimes consequences for ourselves. It involves a much bigger picture. But sometimes we're selfish people, amen? Sometimes we're selfish people. Thank you. I'm going to close. That's all I feel like the Lord wants me to say. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? We're just going to see what else the Lord wants us to do, Holy Spirit wants us to do. Thank you, Father, that you visit us today and you sit up on us and brooded over us today, Father, and you've recharged us today with praise and worship, and we've entered your throne room, Father. Enter into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. We thank you for that word today, Lord. Thank you that you've made us ambassadors in this earth today to show forth your kingdom for such a time as this. That you brought us out, that you might bring us in to all the things that you have for us. Thank you that you have recharged us today to believe again, to speak life again, and to think about what we're saying, what's coming out of our mouth that creates the atmosphere around us. We thank you for that today, Father God. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word that changes us. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your grace that's been given to us abundantly. It's been given to us abundantly. I want to read your word, then I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, it's a new time, a new season, a new day. I'm bringing new life back to you. Where there has been what seems to be death and no hope, I speak life to you again. Life will be birthed again, says God. Where there seems to have been no breakthrough, there will be a breakout. Not only will you go to the nations, says God, I'm bringing the nations to you. For I have given you the power of my spirit, the truth of my word, and an open door. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Ask of me, says God, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Yes, this is a season for crossing over, for you no longer can stay at the position you have been in. Change has happened and is happening. That catalyst that seems for a moment to have taken you down and out, times it seems as if you would drown out the dreams, drown out the prophetic word concerning you, drown out the vision you had, but there is a sound from heaven that is louder than the noise of the enemy. The catalyst that has happened in your life has only been to prepare you to cross over, and it has only created a situation for change to take place. And I would say to you today, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. So it's time to shout, my sons and daughters. Yes, shout with a voice of triumph. Let your voice be a trumpet declaring the word of the Lord. Speak into the atmosphere what I have spoken to you. And when you speak my words, you release my ability to come on the scene in your behalf. That which is in the atmosphere that does not line up to my truth will come under subjection to my words as they are released through you. Release it, release it, release it, says God. Set my word free on the inside of you. by declaring aloud what I have said and see the atmosphere change and become conducive to my will, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you, that was an on-time word from God now. And if you think about what she said, and then you read the bulletin, what I wrote, and neither one of us knew what the other was doing. But something just struck me, and I want you to get this picture. An egg, chicken egg, okay? Now, within the egg of a chicken, the egg has been fertilized, there's a chicken. Now, when we eat an egg, we eat it long before the chicken is visible. But think about this. If you take a chicken egg and you take it in the house and you lay it on the sink or lay it on the counter and let that egg lay there like that, that has that chicken already forming inside it, what's going to happen to that egg? Now, I tell you, that egg's going to rot. You're going to have a rotten egg. What happened? The atmosphere around it was not conducive to the production of that little chicken. So now, what do you do to make sure that little chicken gets born? You leave it where that mother can sit on it, where she can, in a nest where she can go and sit on those eggs. Now, that's the only difference. You remember when Jesus said that he looked at Jerusalem and he said, like a mother chicken, I would have gathered you to me, but you wouldn't. And in the beginning, it talks about the Spirit of God hovering over the water. Well, that word hovering there is better translated brooded, which is the word we use when the chicken or the eggs are in there and the old hen's sitting on those eggs, she's brooding them. Now, if you want your egg to hatch, make sure the atmosphere is right. And the best atmosphere you've got is that mother chicken, which in the story here is the Spirit of God. Let him hover over you. Let him protect you. And then another thing that you've got to understand, too, is Mama Chicken didn't peck that egg and let that little one out. That little one pecked his way out from the inside. But he had it in him. That was his design. He was designed to be able to peck through that shell and to get out and live his life. But did you know? Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In other words, he's given us the power to peck out of that circumstance, to peck out of that situation that surrounds us, and to be free. And you know, I hope that you heard everything that was said this morning and that you take it and you mix it up in your life, you know, like a recipe, and just apply it to your life. Because the most important thing that you can get when you go to a church service is the Word of God, so that you can take it and use it this next week in every situation that you face. You can't necessarily use a dance or a run. I tell you what I thought. I just kind of got wired up here. If we want excitement, I mean, if we want to get excited about something, you know, we come in church, want to get excited, and everybody bring a little piece of coat hanger with you. And at some time, stick it in a light socket. That'll light you up. That'll excite you. That'll give you a thrill. But it won't help you tomorrow if you're facing an enemy or you just fell off the wall and broke. The Word of God's what you need. That's why the Word of God is the most important thing that you can get when you come together to worship the Lord. You give Him your worship, and you receive His Word, and you put it to work in your life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for this Word. Thank You, Lord God, that we are more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That we are blessed. We are blessed with a power that we don't even comprehend. We can talk about it, study it. But Lord God, help us to comprehend it. Help us to believe it and to walk in it. Lord, let Your Word bring forth fruit this week in our lives. And we'll give You the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good, prosperous, healthy, and blessed week.